Hello and welcome to Simply Reds. So we've been let loose again on the interwebs, as it were. My name is Zane Khan. I'm joined in the studio, well, I say studio, the lads have dialed in, by two astute panellists. I don't know how astute you really are, but we'll soon find out. So introduce yourself. So actually, to be fair, Mushtaba, the guys should already know you from the last podcast, the pilot episode. Mitt, we're going to put you on the spot. So introduce yourself by letting us know your full name, if you want, unless the coppers are after you, anything like that, then use a pseudonym. full name, and then how long you've supported Man United, and then maybe an interesting fact about yourself.
Okay, cool. My name's Mittal Gohil. I have supported United as long as I can remember, really. Probably since about 95, 96.
Lucky you didn't say 98, otherwise we would have goaded you for the glory hunter that you are.
Interesting fact. When I was 18, I had a dance-off with Rachel Stevens, I think, from S Club 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Wow. Who won? That is a question.
No comment. No comment. I've got two.
You should have blatantly just lied and said you won.
No, I've got two left feet.
What's going on?
I don't know what it was.
Well, let's just hold the show. Hold the show. Have you got videos? Is there photographic or video evidence of this?
This is about what, 9 years ago? 9 years ago. So I don't think she was even famous then. But you know, obviously she was quite pretty. So yeah,
just a bit. Yeah.
Wow. All right. I think let's just move on from that. So
I'm stunned.
So am I. There's nothing more to be said. I'm almost as stunned as your daily blind player of the year comment last week, Mustafa.
Come on.
Let's move on. So let's tidy up some of the, let's do some of the rest of the housekeeping. We've got a new website, chaps. We've got simplyreds.co.uk. So for all the show notes after the show, simply go on to simplyreds.co.uk. We've also got a Twitter account. So follow us. We're available via the handle @simply_reds. We've already got a mass following. Got more followers than Jesus on Twitter at the moment. A grand total of 11.
Nice.
Yeah, so let's work on that. Apart from that, let's go on with the show. So last week, Saturday, during the pilot show, we made our predictions for the FA Cup. Let's just take a step backwards. I just want to focus on a comment that you made, and I think we mentioned on a couple of the other shows that we do on local radio here as well. But what is your take on these pre-match massive celebrations, or I guess the festivities, the music, and all that good stuff that happens before the game? So just before the game, we had Tiny Temper, we had, I think we had, you know, just a sort of carnival atmosphere. And I think the comment that you made, literally, I'm sort of reading this from the WhatsApp conversation, looking at the phone in my hand, this ain't the Super Bowl, get this shit off, I think is what you said, Mitt.
Yeah, no, I think Mudge said the same thing, about the Champions League. I think, with that sort of stuff in football, I mean, it's more, you know, prevalent now and it's happening a lot, but I just don't agree with it personally. I think, you know, have the national anthem or whatever they need to do and just get on with the game. I think it's obviously a lot more commercialised. And I guess it brings, you know, the atmosphere up and stuff like that. But I don't agree with it at all. They had a rubbish act, like at least put someone decent on. Like, you know, I know they had Alicia Keys at what, Champions League, so, and then we had Tiny Temper.
Yeah, I know you're a massive fan of Justin Bieber, but I don't think he could make it there for
at least get Rachel on there.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Rachel.
Little dance off with you and Rachel Stevens.
My old flame, yeah.
Right, okay, let's move swiftly on from that as well. So yeah, I just wanted to cover off the pre-match atmosphere within Wembley Stadium. We're now FA Cup champions, gents. So your comments on being FA Cup champions.
Firstly, I'd like to say I actually went with a 2-1 and extra time. I don't get a lot right, but that one was bang on. Massive win. I think obviously after the 3 years we've had with Moyes and Van Gaal, I think it was much needed. I kind of had a feeling that it wasn't really going to save his job anyway, but yeah, massive, and it was a great way to win it. Just the way it happened in extra time. A local boy scored as well, so that was good as well. A brilliant parting gift from Van Gaal as well. So yeah, it worked out well in the end.
I think you mentioned it's 3 years, and you sort of, I could hear the agony in your voice.
Yeah.
There's comments on Twitter about Louis Van Gaal And the, kind of that summarizes his tenure for some, yeah. At Manchester United. Your kind of parting comments on the just actually winning the FA Cup, and then we'll move on to break apart some of the highlights from the game as well.
Yeah, pretty much agree with Mitt. As much needed. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, the FA Cup not being as important as it used to be, but you know, for me, it's always been a big trophy. I mean, I love the FA Cup. I was desperate to win it. It's been so long, and I didn't care how the game panned out, really, given that it was going to be Van Gaal's last game. I was just desperate to win it, and absolutely delighted to win a trophy after so long. It feels great.
Let's look at the actual game in itself. I know all of us were watching it with great attention, pretty much feeling every single kick of the ball. Let's go over to, I guess, Mudge, your eye on the game, as it were.
Yeah, I think it was it panned out exactly how we predicted. We had a majority of the possession. Palace sat back and looked to play us on the counter with the pace, with the likes of Zaha and Bolasie. I didn't really come into the game, but, you know, we offered no threat. I mean, that's been our problem all season. We've had a lot of the ball, a lot of possession throughout the season, but there's no penetration whatsoever. And it was the same sort of thing again. I think the Palace's goal ultimately woke us up, and the experience pulled us through in the end with the likes of Rooney. Even Carrick nearly got into the end as well of a cross and nearly scored in extra time. So, yeah, the experience paid off for us. You know, like I said, I wasn't bothered about the performance in this one. I just wanted to get it over and done with. Van Gaal out, FA Cup in a bag, let's move on.
Okay, Mitt, what about yourself? Obviously, you watching the game as well. What was your take on the game?
Yeah, I think Van Gaal wanted to go with possession like he has done with all his games, really. Same as Mudge, really. I mean, you know, we had a lot of the possession, and, you know, I had a feeling that they might score on the counter with the pace they had as well. And, you know, that goal, I wasn't actually surprised, to be honest. You know, it's just one of those things, like the way, you know, football games go. You could dominate the whole game and then, you know, someone pop up in the last minute or so. But, you know, it was good that, you know, we did. I mean, I think it was good that, you know, we didn't have a lot of time, because I think United just went for it and it paid off. So, yeah, no, it was good. And like I said before, it was good to win it in extra time.
Yeah, story of our season to a certain extent. I think that very early on periods of the play, I think we had the lion's share of the possession. I think at 23 minutes or so, I was furiously jotting notes. I think I had something down like 75% possession, something like 7 attempts to Crystal Palace's 1. So yeah, it was absolutely, we were pretty much dominating possession. It was pretty much the story of our season. And then as per the story of our season, they score. So we dominate the game, they score, and then that, in the past, I think, with regards to Premier League games, sometimes we've pretty much just rolled over, and rolled over too easily, but I think the cup atmosphere pretty much lifted the boys, and as you guys have pretty much pointed out, the experience on the pitch, is what drove us home, and Crystal Palace pretty much were doing what we expected, trying to hit on the counter, and they had the pace to prove it. Crystal Palace fans were pretty much the 12th man for Crystal Palace, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, early on in the game, our fans were absolutely fantastic as well. They were watching what Crystal Palace fans were doing and saying, look, we can up you with our singing along as well. So they were doing exactly that. So they count as the 12th man. But then we had the 13th man on the pitch, chaps. Referee, Mark Clattenburg. He was giving plenty of decisions our way. Your thoughts on his dubious decisions, Mitt?
Really bad decisions, I think. I think the Smalling one was really bad. I think, obviously,
Smalling forgot what game he was playing. You thought he was playing rugby for a second.
I don't know what he
about?
Was doing. Yeah, on both occasions when he got sent off as well. But the initial one, the yellow card, when Connor Wickham, I think, scored, I think obviously he should have carried on with play. Obviously, it was beneficial for United in the end, but poor refereeing, I think. And I think he did it twice after that, not in such key positions, but I think he did it again. But you know what? I'm not complaining. It worked out well for us, so.
No, exactly. I mean, as you rightly pointed out, we can't really complain, but certainly watching the game, if I was a Crystal Palace fan, I would be absolutely lamenting those facts. It was a disastrous performance from Mark Clattenburg, and I'm not one to point fingers at referees, but honestly, really shoddy refereeing there. But we really lauded Chris Smalling, which is our last episode, saying how he's come on from strength to strength, kind of jinxed him a little bit, I think. Really poor performance from Smalling. So just a couple of words on Smalling's performance, potentially, Mustafa?
I wouldn't say he had a really bad game, to be honest. I know he was deservedly sent off. With the first one, I think Klattenberger blew the whistle really early. Don't think he quite realised it would have been an advantage. But yeah, we got away with that one. But yeah, I don't think he had a really bad game, to be honest. But I think it just sort of highlights that we need someone experienced next to him. Although he's had a great season, he's still relatively inexperienced, and we need someone who's been there and done that next to him and to really bring out the strengths in him and obviously take care of him as well when he makes mistakes.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to be a bit harsher than you, Mustafa, but I'm going to say, especially for that second challenge, that kind of rugby tackle, he absolutely lost his mind. I don't know what he was thinking about. I mean, there was plenty of players back, I believe. Even if he took Blassie down, I know Blassie's hold on a minute. I think if it's Daily Blind, Smalling probably saw Daily Blind was the only man back and he thought, you know what? It's over. Blassie's pace is going to tear Daily Blind a new one, so I have to take him out. Just looking at it logically, I don't know what happened. His decision making went completely out the window. There's two men behind him, and Blassie was pretty much in his own half. There was no need for him to take him down. He just lost his head. So I'm gonna absolutely berate him for that. Just on that alone, I think he had a disastrous performance, and I'm gonna stick to that opinion. Just any final words on Smalling?
I think over the season he's done really well. He's stayed injury free. And he's come on leaps and bounds in terms of his defending and passing. I think he's quite a good distributor now as well, which I think he wasn't great at before.
I see what you're doing. Yeah? You're trying to sort of say the entirety of the season he's been a good performer for us. So don't let this sort of mar this FA Cup performance mar it. And we won it at the end anyway. So
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I know, Mustafa, you want to get on with the more important news. We've won the FA Cup. That's all well and good. But let's crack on with the big headlines. So LVG's out. Jose Mourinho's in. So I know you want to focus on Jose Mourinho and what's going to happen in the future. And it's good to kind of, hypothesize on what the future lies for Man United, especially because it's such exciting news. But let's take a little step back and look at Louis van Gaal, or Louis van Gaal. As some of the Twitterati like to call him. Where did it all go wrong? So I'll start off with you, Mustafa. Where did it all go wrong for Louis van Gaal?
He had to go in the end. The football was atrocious. I mean, we could have given him another season if the football had been good, if he was scoring goals, he was entertaining, if the players were playing well. But to be honest, you know, he's handled the players really badly. The football is just disgraceful. There's a lot of talk about him not being united with the United traditions and whatnot. You know, I don't care about the traditions. I just want to see a good performance from the players. And, you know, his tactics were negative. His players playing them in the wrong positions. You know, just looking at Mata. I mean, he plays Mata and Lingard. He plays Lingard in the number 10. And he plays Mata on the right. I mean, what on earth is going on there? Like, it's just, you know, even a kid would know it would make sense to play Mata in the 10. You know, little things like that as well. I mean, he's made some good signings, made a lot of bad signings, but he made some really great signings as well, like Schneiderlin, who I really like as well, Luke Shaw. But since they get coached by his methods, they seem to have gone on a downward trend, really. He had to go. I mean, fifth place, not good enough. Gone. I'm absolutely delighted he's gone, to be honest. I mean, I like him. I like him as a person. But I think he was the right man at the wrong time for us.
The kind of gist of your argument for Louis van Gaal going essentially is the fact that there were pretty much no positives that he brought to the game. But let's not forget some of the youth boys that he gave their first team debuts to. They've come on head and shoulders. Do you think that was a conscious decision that he made, chaps? Or do you think it was more along the lines of he was put in a situation, he did it, it paid off, and now he's using that as a sort of, come on, look at what I've done for United. You talk about kind of positives. Look at the youth that I've brought through. Mittal, your thoughts just on that?
I think historically, Van Gaal has always been, you know, about bringing up youth. So in that regard, I agree he's done well. But players like Rashford, I think he probably wouldn't have played if Martial didn't get injured on that day. Players like Cameron Borthwick-Jackson and some of the fullbacks that he's played also. I don't think he would have played them simply because, you know, I mean, was it pre-Christmas? We had so many injuries and literally we had no choice. And I think obviously it's good that, you know, he brought them up and he trusted them. But I don't think, you know, he's brought them in because he's wanted to. Obviously signing Martial, brilliant. Probably one of the best decisions that he's made.
Yeah, in hindsight, what an absolutely amazing decision. Exactly. I know when Anthony Martial signed for us, I was certainly, you know, I didn't want to make any judgments, so I kept quiet on the subject. But inwardly, just reflecting upon the signing, I was thinking, what the hell have these guys done? They sign a teenager. And if you look at the actual contract and the kind of stipulations and the kind of rules, regulations with regards to his performances and the fees that are going to be paid, guys, it's absolutely eye-watering sums of money. I think it escalates to something like 60 million. If you include...
Absolute bargain.
No, I mean, genuinely, I think it's around 60 million if you include the fact that, you know, he's going to, if he scores this number of goals, if he makes some European, outings, if he gets, you know, caps for his country, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, absolutely eye-watering amounts of money. But in hindsight, he seems to be a pretty damn good signing. I don't know, you know, 60 million, we're not going to know until what? 3, 4, 5 years from now, we're not really going to know if he's worth it or not. But I think just a little bit of an insight historically, I think we signed Rio Ferdinand under similar sort of pretenses. He was paid, again, we paid astronomical fees for him at the time. I think it was 30 million or something along those lines. Really high fee at that time. And everybody was saying he's not worth that amount of money. And then looking back now, with regards to his tenure at Man United and how many trophies he won us, it seems like an absolute bargain. A similar sort of story for the likes of Wayne Rooney. Again, we paid eye-watering amounts of money, and you know they've bought along. Well, they've given us years of silverware and years of joy. So I think if Anthony Martial can follow in the same footsteps, I think we're going to be looking back in the 1,000th episode, lads, and saying what an absolute bargain he was.
I agree. You know, I mean, going back on Van Gaal's season, like Mustafa said, poor season, you know, 4th and 5th. I mean, it's not United. United are known for winning.
Was that what meant his head had to roll? Was that the defining moment of the season? Was it that West Ham game? Or do you think just the culmination of everything, the fact that we're playing absolutely shite football, we're not winning games, it was just literally the combination of it all? Or do you think there was a defining moment where the upper echelons of United just said, you know what, we need to get rid of him?
Personally, I lost all faith in him when he brought Nick Powell on. And I thought, what is he doing? I thought that was me done. I thought, you know what, I've given up. I've given up on all hope.
Brilliant.
And then, obviously the fixtures in Christmas when he lost, what, 5-4 on the bounce, you know, against Norwich. And I thought, you know what, back in the day when Fergie was in charge, you'd never see something like that, you know.
No, that was our strongest, I think historically that's been our kind of strongest period. We're the ones going into winter, we never sort of let our heads drop. We're winning points quite easily, chalking up 3 points here, there and everywhere. And LVG just couldn't, and the rest of the squad as well, really couldn't muster up the strength to start clocking those points and start building a good head of steam going into the new year. And
we had Phil Jones taking corners on Christmas Boxing Day.
Yeah, I cannot back any of those ridiculous decisions. I really can't. So okay, fair enough. Do I dare go on to one good, one bad? I think we've mentioned plenty of negative points about Louis van Gaal, but come on guys, let's end the podcast with regards to talking about Louis van Gaal on a good note. So I know he left on relatively good terms. His kind of final letter or statement to the fans was a really kind of upbeat, positive one, but he was also kind of really grateful, really thankful. So you know, we don't part with him on negative terms. The only negativity we've got is towards the actual football that was played, but there's no malice here. So let's end on a good note and let's look at some of the highlights. So for you guys, let's just go sort of round the table, as it were. Mustafa, first and foremost, just one good point for you, maybe a highlight of the season. Doesn't have to be football related, it could be something off the pitch. I've got one that's off the pitch, so feel free to do the same.
I loved his press conferences. Absolutely amazing, entertaining, and I thought he handled them really well. He never let the press get on top of him as well, which I really liked. He showed that he could handle the size of the club off the pitch, but ultimately it was his performances on the pitch which let him down.
Yeah, he was a massive character. I think, have you got any specific highlights in mind? I do remember, like, even the last press conference that he had as the Man United manager, when he waltzed into the kind of press room with the trophy, like it was the head of some sort of king that he'd dismembered, and just you sort of smacked it onto the table and just said to the press, "Here I am. This is what I've won. And this is the first trophy United have won since Fergie's left."
Yeah, I kind of like two. One was a Shek Smakokism.
Yeah, yeah.
And another one was
Shek Smakokism.
Another one I liked was Louis van Gaal Army.
You know, I really think he's, you know, did you remember a couple of seasons ago where I think he dropped his tactics folder and really we figured out that it wasn't actually a tactics folder, it was his wine list thing. He must have been high on some sort of wine when he came out with that chant. Mitchell, what about you?
I think his record against our arch rivals Liverpool, I think,
yeah, good shout.
It's just, I think his record against big teams in general was very good. Especially against Liverpool, you know, that was one massive highlight for me. In terms of press conferences, when he was talking about playing horny football, or no, he wanted horny players.
I think the style of play he was saying was, he wants the lads to play some horny football. I don't know what horny football looks like. I mean, if you guys can enlighten me, I'd love to hear about it. I really don't. That's gotta be some new philosophy that he's brandishing around there.
I don't know what it was. I think he just wanted them to attack the opposition,
God knows,
like a man possessed.
Okay, so as we part ways with Louis van Gaal and look forward towards our new manager, can any of you guys I just want to know, what the hell was Louis van Gaal's philosophy? I still not managed to figure out yet.
Possession.
It's a
possession football, is it?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, to be honest.
You know what, guys, I think it's going to remain up there as one of the greatest unsolved mysteries. Okay, let's move on. So just after it was announced that Louis van Gaal lost his job, rumours were rife. And let's be honest, I mean, these rumours have been around for a hell of a long time. Last episode, I mentioned the fact that there was potentially some sort of gentleman's agreement with the higher-ups at Manchester United and Jose Mourinho that if he was not to become the next United manager, he'd be paid a handsome and hefty sum. And as it sort of turned out, the rumour mill was right. I think this deal was in the pipeline for a very long time, and it came to fruition. So first and foremost, the appointment of Jose Mourinho, is it the right one? Mujtaba?
I've always had some reservations about Jose Mourinho, and I still have a lot of reservations about him, but ultimately I think the club made the right decision in appointing him in terms of scaring the opposition, making a statement to the Premier League. And with the fact that there wasn't really anyone out there, and you know, if Mourinho is available, you have to get someone like him in. It's his dream job. He's a wounded animal. he's great in the transfer market. I think, you know, it ticks all the boxes, and he's big enough to handle the club as well. And he will thrive under the fact that we're still one of the last remaining clubs that give the manager pretty much, you know, all the power, and I think he will absolutely love that and thrive under that.
Yeah. So, Mitchell, your thoughts on the appointment of Jose Mourinho?
Yeah, I think he's the right man for the job at the moment. Long term, I personally wouldn't have gone for him, but I think because of where we've been in the last 3 years, he's a perfect man to bring that club back up and, you know, bring that fear factor back. Such a massive club, you know, we don't want to, you know, disappear for a number of years and then, you know, and you know, we lose all sponsorships and all that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, this is very good.
So sort of steadying the ship, as it were.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, I agree.
So we know Jose Mourinho. I think he's known as a very successful manager. He certainly brings in the trophies, sometimes at the cost of a beautiful style of football. I mean, you don't see that. You'll see kind of parking the bus type tactics and, you know, just winning at all costs. I think you guys touched around that point, and you're sort of saying you're willing to sacrifice that beautiful style of football just to get us back winning trophies. And I kind of agree with you to a certain extent. And I think some of the other credentials that he's got to be Man United manager is the fact that if you look at the names out there that are available, everybody's pretty much done their bidding. We look at Pep Guardiola, he sold his soul to the devil, and he's gone over to the dark side of Manchester. You've got the likes of Ancelotti, he's done his bidding as well, so he's decided who he's going to be managing. So if you look at the managers that are left on the circuit, Jose Mourinho is the biggest guy available, and I think it'd be a lost opportunity if we didn't sign him now. I think with regards to what he's been, some of the stuff that he's been coming out with, we talk about the 6-page dossier that he apparently sent to Man United hierarchy saying he's going to change his ways and he's the right man for the job. There's been rumours that have been circulating around for ages about the fact that he's been sniffing around that Manchester United job ever since Fergie left, and the fact that he started crying apparently when he found out Moyes got the job. To be fair, I was crying when I found out Moyes got the job as
I'd
well.
I'd be crying too. I'd be crying. Yeah, I, so think, I, wanna, I think Yeah, I think this. I think this job is. I think they sort of had a gentleman's agreement prior to this. I think even Koeman said that you know, something of this scale, the sacking and someone like Mourinho joining the club would have been done months, you know, ago. Yeah. So I think it was, you know, it was just one of those things. And I think Van Gaal, I think whether or not he got fourth or fifth, I reckon he would have got sacked anyway. I think yeah. Woodward would have had pressure from the sponsors as well, you know, to make a change as well.
Yeah, I think luckily for us, I think the Adidas deal last season, there was a clause in the Adidas deal last season that said something along the lines of, if we don't make it into the Champions League, last season, they would terminate the contract or we'd lose, I don't know, 60 million or something along those lines. So luckily last season we managed to make it into the Champions League and everything was hunky-dory. But this season, I don't know what it means for our sponsorship, but we're going to find out sooner rather than later with regards to profit, loss and all that good stuff. But that's not what we care about here at Simply Reds. It's all about the football. I've got a question that I want to pose to you guys, and it's not from myself. It's in fact from Dinesh, who's from Peterborough, who's one of our avid listeners, one of our new listeners. He wants to know, given the fact that Jose is so vehemently Chelsea, he is Chelsea through and through. Well, that's what Chelsea fans say anyway. How does that sort of sit with you guys, given the fact that Man United are polar opposites to what Chelsea are all about? And now we've got a Chelsea, a guy who's, Chelsea through and through, at the helm of Manchester United. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, what does it really mean to you? So Mittal, just comments from yourself around that first and foremost.
Firstly, regarding that statement, I don't know how much Chelsea he was. I saw a interview with him, and his words were, whatever club he joins, he wears the badge or the shirt. So I think it was just one of those things. I think he's always wanted the United job, and you can see how happy he is now. But you know, obviously, I think he's just going to forget about it, I guess. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think he's going to be fully,
But how does that sit with you? I mean, it's fine for him. He's getting paid a handsome amount of money. Yeah. What about yourself, just as a United fan? What does it mean to you to have somebody like Jose managing your team?
I had reservations, like Mudge said. But you know what? I'm happy. You know, his record speaks for itself. I think, you know, I think him managing Chelsea before doesn't really play a factor for me. I know obviously when he was at Chelsea, you know, a lot of people hated him, and you know, you're never going to like another team's manager, but obviously once he's your own, you know, it's just one of the things, you've got to support him, and you know what you're getting with Mourinho, you know what's going to happen.
It's football, isn't it? I mean, it's like players these days, they're pretty much mercenaries. Mutsubar, over to you, just on your thoughts about having typically Chelsea man at the helm of Manchester United. Does it perturb you? Does it disturb you? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have no real problems, to be honest. Going back to what Mitt said about him being Mr. Chelsea, I mean, he was Mr. Chelsea during his first stint at the club, but since he's come back, I don't think he's ever forgiven Abramovich for sacking him, and I don't think he was really Mr. Chelsea during his second period. I mean, if you just looked at his face, I mean, he looks 10 years younger than he did during his second spell. I mean, I don't have any problems. I mean, it's very similar to signing a player from another big club or another rival. I mean, we spoke about this yesterday. I mean, Eric Cantona, we signed from Leeds, and we absolutely slated him when he was at Leeds.
Yeah, really,
but when he came over, you know, he put big performances and he turned into a legend. You know, if he does well for us, then, you know, it's all forgotten. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same with some of our talismen as well. I mean, you look at Rooney, he was blue for life, apparently, and then he transferred over to the red side and all is, well, I don't think the Toffs have ever forgotten it, really, but all is forgiven and forgotten for our side. I think there's no, well, to be
yeah,
fair,
I think it's more from him, his side as well. I mean, if he adheres himself to the club, if he shows the passion, if he puts in performances, you know, it's from both sides, really.
Very true. Speaking of that, he's saying all the right things at the moment. I mean, he signed just a couple of days ago, and first time I've seen him, I think he's just opened up a Instagram account, and the
exactly,
first picture, there's nothing, no historical pictures on there at the moment. It's the first time he's opened up an Instagram account, and the first picture is his service agreement or his contract with Manchester United, with pretty much all the Man United paraphernalia. If I
and
can
that shiny new pen.
Yeah, that shiny new pen, exactly. And sort of his, as I said, I mean, the pictures that he's sort of brandishing on his social media sites and all the kind of stuff that's coming out from him is certainly Manchester United, dare I say, rhetoric. He's also said comments along the lines of, as a Manchester United fan, you probably want to forget the last 3 years. he's damn right. And then he's saying something along the lines of, I want to forget the last 3 years as well, so let's continue on as if they never happened. And sort of just saying stuff like that, it really does, certainly from my perspective, endear him towards the United crowd. Your thoughts on just some of those comments that he's been coming up with and some of his social media antics? Feel free to jump in, either of you.
I was sold on when he used the words mystique and romance of the club. That was me. I was like, wow.
And Monster Club as well. Previously he's come out with things like Monster Club.
Well, it's that, there's that video where he's going through the clubs, and then he's like, United are a super, super big club.
Yeah.
He's always spoken highly of United fans and the club as well. Going back to the Madrid game when, you know, Nani got sent off, you know,
yeah, he was very good point.
We're speaking about United fans highly there and the club. So
well, he knew, didn't he? I mean, come on. We knew. He knew. This is my theory. I think that obviously him and Alex Ferguson were really close. They'd share a glass of wine after football games. And I think Jose admitted it himself when Alex Ferguson came out and said he was retiring. The fact that Jose was one of the first individuals to know about this decision. And I think just given that fact, he was trying to sort of set himself up to a certain extent, so he knew, look, Fergie's going to be going in a couple of months, let me see if I can pull in a stake for the game, warm myself up to the fans, etc. So I think those comments that he made whilst he was at Real, he knew exactly what he was doing.
I agree, and also with the Chelsea job, but some people are saying that, you know, he got sacked on purpose, or, you know, he wanted to leave because he wanted the United job, but who knows really. All I know is that, you know, he's wanted it for years, so
yeah. Yeah, let's face it, it's a dream job, and he's finally got it, and he's absolutely delighted.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's move on from that and put yourselves in Jose's shoes. What needs to happen? What would be one of the first things that you would do? Mitchell, you first.
I'd go straight into the transfer market. I think, obviously, I'd address the striker and send it back straight away. But if you're going to ask me who my top three are later on, then I can give you that. But, probably straight into the transfer market and sort that out, really. Only because I think they're in need of a striker and a centre back, but that's the only reason.
Much about, do you agree? Straight into the transfer market for you.
The first thing I would do is I would open up an Instagram account.
Nah, just film pictures of yourself at various locations around Old Trafford.
Nah, in all seriousness, I would look at all the players and see who needs to go out first before we get someone in. I think there's still a bit of dead wood in the squad that we need to address. One thing I'm really looking forward to with Jose is he's really astute in the transfer market, both players coming in and going out. Historically, the players he sold them for good amounts of money. I mean, I don't know how much of that's related to him or the director at the club, but it's still something to look forward to. I mean, the likes of Fellaini, I'm not a huge fan of Rojo, the likes of Ashley Young, they all need to go. Same as Mitt, you know, I need to address what's coming. We've still got a great squad, let's not forget that. We just need to add in a few positions here and there. I think the priority for me is defence. We need to get that world-class centre back in.
Okay, let's do it then, guys. So as we near the end of the show, let's whet the audience's appetite. What signings potentially do you think United fans have got to look forward to? So I know, Mitchell, you're incessantly drafting up lists of players that you want at Man United. And I've been privy to some of those over the season. Some of them have been more ridiculous than others. But in yesteryear, United have certainly pulled through. And the likes of the Angel Di Maria signing was certainly on your dream formation. And that came to fruition. So I shouldn't really discount anything. So, Mitchell, I know you've got a couple of players' names handy. Go for it.
Realistically, only because of the rumours, my top three would probably be Zlatan. I'd bring Zlatan in. I'd bring a centre back. Now, I'd like Varane, but I don't think that will happen. So I think John Stones is probably more likely, just because he's English and he's going to work well. He's obviously very young as well, and I think he'll work well with Smalling. He's a different kind of player as well. You know, Smalling's probably more about winning headers, and Stones is more about, you know, the nicer sides of football, you know, the passing and distribution.
It's a classic relationship that we used to have with Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic, just reliving those kinds of attributes.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know about, I'd go with a midfielder probably, but I'm not too sure who I'd want. But come back to me on that one. Let me have a little think about it.
Okay, you continue to draft names down on that little scrap of paper that you got lying around.
List out of the vault.
Mustafa, what about your thoughts in terms of signing? Is Ibra a good signing first and foremost? What about Stones? As Mittal mentioned there, do you agree with those signings? Is there somebody else on your list?
I'm really unsure about Stones. I really don't know what to think about him. But to be honest, what we need right now in this squad is experience. We need players to come in and do the job straight away. I like Stones.
Are you saying Phil Jagielka is what we need?
I've been watching videos, even. Yeah, we need someone who's going to come in and make a difference. We've got a lot of young players, but if you look at experience in our squad, it's only the likes of Carrick and Rooney have been there for a long time. I know Bastion's come in, and if he plays more, he's going to be a big player for us, but we need experience. So I'm looking at Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I'd love to get him in the club just for a year. With the likes of Martial and Rashford and Memphis, young players up front, especially with Rooney dropping back into midfield now.
Yeah, real good blend there.
Yeah, we need some experience up front. I think he will show the kids how it's done. I mean, he's like a five-a-side player, you know, turn and shoot, bang, straight in the top bins. I like him, he'd be great for us. But like I said, defence is where I'm more concerned about. I mean, realistically, who's really available? Centre-backs, Hummels was there, but he's gone to Bayern now.
Yep, he's made his bed.
Yeah, like Mitt said, Varane, I'm a huge fan of Varane. But he's relatively inexperienced as well, but he's still got some experience. I mean, he's played Champions League football, he's played for France. So I'd try to get him in. There's Mustafi at Valencia as well, I like him. He's young, but he's got a lot of experience as well. He's played for Germany as well. So those are the two centre-backs I'm looking at. There's the youngster at Bilbao, Laporte. He's just been injured though, but again, he's still a bit inexperienced. So there's not really much available out there.
Wow, Mustafa, you've been hitting Scout Nation on YouTube, haven't you?
I think they were linked to Kostas Manolas from Roma as well. I don't know much about him, but he's meant to be really, really good. So, you know, why not?
Okay, guys, let's wrap this up. So it's been a really exciting week for Manchester United fans. We've not only gone and won the FA Cup, but we've got a new manager at the helm. It really seems like an exciting prospect of seeing one of the greatest managers, even as Pep Guardiola hailed him as one of the greatest managers in world football at the moment. And now we're starting to see rumours move towards who he's going to be signing. Watch this space. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we'll have news of Ibrahimovic having signed for Manchester United. Never really thought I'd hear myself say that. This has been Simply Reds. Check us out on simplyreds.co.uk. Like, share and subscribe. And we've also got now an iTunes feed. Go on there and subscribe and leave a review. Until next time, that's it.